have our disclaimers. Oh, whoops. Sorry, I got to back up. So one of the biggest changes that has occurred since we were last here together is that Stephen Koons has retired from CPATH. He retired at the end of March, for those of you who may not be aware, and unfortunately he was not able to be with us here in person today. We have an e-card that we are encouraging everyone to sign. We put it in your digital packet, so please look for that. Please send him your well wishes, your congratulations. Sorry, this is going quicker than I thought. Mahalo, which is thank you in Hawaiian. You know, we have deep gratitude to him for all his contributions to the field, for his leading the PRO Consortium for 12 years, for his leadership in the COA field. So, you know, we miss him greatly, and, you know, we wish him well. He's definitely going to be enjoying his retirement. He is still maintaining an affiliation with CPATH. He's a senior advisor, and he'll be working on some projects with us to see them through. So he's not completely gone. apologies. So, and as part of the transition, I'd like to welcome Cheryl Koon, who is now our Vice President of the Clinical Outcome Assessment Program as of February 27th, 2023. Cheryl will oversee the PRO Consortium, ECOA Consortium, and Rare Disease COA Consortium. And she's a psychometrician with 2 decades of experience developing and evaluating COAs for use in constructing patient-centered endpoints. So I'd like to welcome Cheryl to CPATH and the COA program. And another introduction is our new CEO of CPATH, Daniel Jorgensen, who joined October 1st, 2022. He's an accomplished physician with more than 24 years of experience in the pharma industry. And he is, I hope, going to be here today. I don't see him in the room yet, but we hope he will be here and be able to see some of our sessions and interact with some of our, with all of you. So please keep an eye out. And for those of you who may not be familiar, the COA program is something that's been evolving at CPATH for the last several years. We have 3 consortia within the program, as I mentioned, PRO Consortium, ECOA Consortium, and Rare Disease COA Consortium. And we will have sessions representing all of these consortia at the workshop. And the leadership of the consortia, Scotty Kern, ECOA Consortium, and Lindsay Murray of the Rare Disease COA Consortium. So I'm going to breeze through these really quickly because a lot of this information, hopefully most of you are familiar with, but I know there are some new faces, new people here. COA Consortium was formed in late 2008 in cooperation with CDER and the pharmaceutical industry. We have 25 members who are pharmaceutical firms, and we also have additional participants who participate in our working groups and our other activities, including governmental agencies, people from FDA and NIH, clinical consultants, patients, patient advocacy organizations, academic researchers, CROs, who are partnering in the development of PRO measures and other COAs. This is all of our member firms. We are so grateful for your continued support and participation of PRO Consortium. And our mission is to establish and maintain a collaborative framework with appropriate stakeholders for the qualification of PRO measures and other COAs that will be publicly available for use in clinical trials where COA-based endpoints are used to support product labeling claims. So this is our focus and our mission. And our goals are really to enable pre-competitive collaboration that includes FDA input and expertise, qualify PRO measures and other COAs, because what we're trying to do is avoid development of multiple endpoint measures for the same purpose, which creates challenges and difficulty in the field, and doing so, share the costs and create efficiencies in the development, and with the ultimate goal of facilitating FDA's review of medical products by standardizing COA-based endpoint measures that are publicly available. And we do this through our working groups. We have 9 therapeutic area working groups that focus on either producing the evidence or compiling evidence to qualify the COAs. And the groups that completed our goal, which is achieving qualification of at least one measure, include the IBS working group, asthma, non-small cell lung cancer, depression, and myelofibrosis, which, although wasn't a qualification, has a measure that was endorsed by FDA is included in the COA compendium. So I won't spend a lot of time on those. We were qualified since 2020. But we've had a very busy year. We've had a lot going on. So I do want to highlight the activities of our working groups and our accomplishments for the year. So since April 2022, essentially. CHF Working Group, Chronic Heart Failure, is working through toward qualification, actually three measures, two PRO measures, and one activity monitor-based endpoint measure. And I included the context of use on the slides, which is essentially the patient population that we're targeting with these qualification efforts, but I won't spend a lot of time discussing those. And there's more details on the posters in the hallway. So please take a look at those if you're interested in this therapeutic area. Very pleased to announce that a qualification plan for the CHFSS was submitted to FDA on March 24th, which is a long process in the making, so we're very, very pleased to get that moving to the next step in the qualification effort. That we're working towards submission of the CHFIS later in the year, Q2 2023. And we've actually also been working very hard on our activity monitor-based endpoint measure, meeting with FDA representatives in October to discuss the metrics and where we're going with that, and targeting to submit a qualification plan for that measure by the end of the year. And there'll be more details and highlights discussed on the activity monitor-based endpoint measure in tomorrow's session on the ECOA consortium session. Cognition working group, working toward qualification of the virtual reality functional capacity assessment tool, shortlist mild cognitive impairment. This group is still working towards getting the qualitative research study launched with Duke Memory Disorders Clinic, and this is a necessary precursor to developing the qualification plan for this measure. Depression 2.0, very, very active year for Depression 2.0. We have two measures in qualification. One, both derivations of the Qualified Symptoms of Major Depressive Disorder scale, the diary and the momentary assessment. And we both have been submitted. The qualification plans for both have been submitted. SMDDD last July, and we just Monday received our reviewability assessment. So thank you very much to FDA for that. We are very, very long, long awaited. Very pleased with that. And the qualification plan for the SMDDMA was submitted at the end of March. Functional dyspepsia, very pleased to say that the qualification plan was accepted by FDA last April, April 29th. So it was after our presentation of the workshop session. Irritable bowel syndrome, we have two more measures in qualification for IBS, one for diarrhea, one for mixed bowel habits. And we did submit the qualification plan for the DIBS-D last December, and it was deemed reviewable or determined to be reviewable April 7th, so that one is moving along very well. Multiple sclerosis, we have two measures in qualification, one for fatigue, one for physical function, and it is for adults of all types, any type of MS. Definitely a lot of activity in this working group as well. Our qualification plan for the fatigue measure was accepted in September. We're preparing the full qualification package, and target submission is Q3 of 2023. And the qualification plan for the physical function measure is determined to be reviewable in November, and we are looking forward to the review being completed by mid-May. Pediatric asthma. This is for children 4 through 11 years old with clinical diagnosis of mild to severe persistent asthma, requiring daily long-term control medication. This has also been a very, very active working group the past year. We submitted our qualification plan, which is one plan for both measures, on December 15th, and it was determined to be reviewable on March 30th. So also moving forward very well. Rheumatoid arthritis. This is a long, long term in the making. Submitted our full qualification package on January 10th for the fatigue short form 10A, and you'll be hearing more about that in a session later today. And our small cell lung cancer, which is taking our qualified non-small cell cancer measure and testing it with patients with limited or extensive stage small cell lung cancer to verify if this is going to work in this new population. A qualitative research study is in progress to evaluate this as a precursor to development of the qualification plan. So that's for more information about all our working groups. You saw posters that are in the hallway outside the meeting room. Please take your time, read through those. They really provide a lot of detailed information on the development, where we stand, and next steps. And join us for a reception tonight in the Magnolia Room from 5:30 to 7 this evening. And the posters will remain on display, so we would definitely encourage you to take a look at them there. And we'll be posting electronic versions to our webpage by the end of May. So they will serve as a resource after the meeting. Publications. So in addition to all the working group efforts that we've been making in the past year, we've been very busy with a number of publications. And I'm happy to see so many of our co-authors here in the audience today. Since last April, we've had 6 publications total, several more in final stages of review and soon to be published this summer. Our publication on recommendations for clinician-reported outcome assessments, electronic migration implementation, lead author Heather Romero was published kind of last year, mid-year. The paper that many of you were involved in on comparing the PGIS and PGIC in depression, small cell lung cancer, non-small cell lung cancer, and asthma was published last summer. Very, very pleased to see that finally come out. We have 2 publications on our BYOD study, qualitative research findings, and quantitative research findings. Also a very important publication. We think these are important findings to share with the field. Lindsay Murray led a publication on approaches to the assessment of clinical benefit for conditions that have heterogeneous symptoms and impacts implications for rare disease. That was published just this month. And another publication with Stacey Hudgens and our team on best practice recommendations for data set structure and standardization is also just now being published. So thank you all for your collaboration on those very important publications. And you might be saying, well, you know, how do I keep up with all these publications coming out? We've actually instituted a new feature on our website under resources to allow for searching of the publications, and we also have expanded our resources. So I'll show you quickly those. So this is our publications library. So it's, you know, you can go there and it shows everything kind of in descending order by date. So please feel free to take a look and keep up with our publications that way. We think it's a great resource. Thank you so much to Christian Knoll for helping us to get that up and running in time for the workshop. And our ECOA Getting Better Together initiative. We have a number of resources we've been preparing since for the last several years, and we periodically update it as new materials come out. Also a very helpful place to get those resources. So I just want to kind of highlight all that we accomplished in the last year. We've had 2 QPs accepted. We've had 1 QP determined to be reviewable and undergoing FDA review that was submitted prior to April. 5 QPs submitted between July and March, 3 of which have been determined to be reviewable and are undergoing FDA review, and 2 still undergoing reviewability assessment. We've had 1 full qualification package submitted and undergoing reviewability assessment, and we've had the 6 publications. So I'm going to transition to kind of workshop, a little bit of workshop housekeeping. Your workshop materials that you received via email on Monday include the welcome letter, the fact sheet, our mission statement and objectives, the agenda, an agenda at a glance that has high-level information to keep up with what we're doing when, speaker and panelist information. We have a pre-registration list and a link to the e-card for Stephen Coons, another plug. Please express your wishes to him. And a workshop feedback form link. So we really encourage your feedback. We really want to hear from you. We want to make this workshop as interesting and responsive to your needs. So please fill that out. And here's the agenda at a glance. I'll just give some highlights of what we have to come. After I finish, we'll have our FDA update, and then a short break. Then we'll go into patient experience data, use and regulatory decision-making, and labeling. After lunch, we'll have a session on qualitative methods and clinical trials, opportunities and challenges. And then last session of the afternoon, applying methodologies for estimating meaningful within-person change, thresholds, considerations, and alternative approaches. So a very full day today. Looking forward to all those sessions. And then tomorrow in the morning, we'll have strategies for use of COAs in rare disease pediatric populations and our ECOA COA program projects and collaborations update. And just to let you know, a lot of that session will be focused on sensor-based digital health technology, which we know is a very, very hot topic. So I don't want you to to be aware we are touching on that topic this year. Active participation during the Q&A portion of each session is encouraged. We really have worked hard. We have great speakers, but we've worked hard to set aside time for Q&A, and so we want to hear from you. Before you speak, go to the microphone or wait till one is handed to you. We are audio recording the workshop for posting to our website, so please do speak into the mic. And of course, please turn off cell phones or set to vibrate. So questions. We don't have time for Q&A for my portion today, but please do follow up. You can come and ask me questions during the breaks, or please feel free to email me at saramenko@cpath.org. I'll be happy to answer your questions. And now it is my pleasure to turn things over. Okay, I'm going to switch to David Reisner and colleagues.